Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah, I see you're the only one on.
Right, I just got on, so.
Yeah, well, it's just that right at the beginning time anyway. So we'll wait till someone else comes.
Okay.
Did you have a good day?
Yeah. Okay. Working on it, going room to room. It's a slow process. I didn't know what I started, you know, thinking I was going to reorganize my whole house.
Is Tony doing well?
So. Since he's had that steroid injection in his back, he's not, you know, he's feeling a lot better. So I think a lot of it was that. But it's just, it's real hot here. So you can't do very much that it kind of saps your energy.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I wasn't sure if I was on or not. I was waiting to see.
You're on.
Okay.
And we can get started.
Yep.
So we are studying in the Parashah of Vayera in section 13 on the Sulam commentary. And we're going to start with Pasuk 183. We'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kud Shabrihu, Ishkinte, Bidhilu, Urchimu, Udhilu, Udhilu, Urchimu. Leachda, L'shem, Yudhe, Bavavhe, Beyehuda, Shalim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vayhino Amadonai Elohino, Alena Maseya, Deno Kurene, Alena Maseya, Deno Kurenehu. Pasuk 183. The translation, because of this, even though he did not ask for it, the Holy One, blessed be he, sent for Lot and saved him for the sake of Abraham, as it is written, and Elohim remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow.
Marcus.
My commentary. This pasuk is clear as written. Learn this teaching well. Remember, Lot is Abraham's evil inclination. What would the world look like if Lot had died in Sodom? Questions, comments, thoughts.
Well, even though Abraham didn't pray or ask Hashem to do it, I think Hashem knew, you know, foreknowledge of Abraham being a vessel, a chariot to Hesed, that he would have wanted it even if he didn't ask for it. And of course, we know he did bargain for Lot. So Hashem knew his heart. And it gives us hope that he'll do for our children and grandchildren, maybe if they aren't doing what they're supposed to do either, that he'll be merciful to them because he knows that we want them to be better and to change. And so there's hope for us.
There's always hope for us. I think it's meaningful the way the English is being written here. The Zohar is saying that Lot is being saved for the sake of Abraham. We know from the earlier verse that Abraham didn't ask for Lot's to be saved. And yes, as you say, Hannah, Hashem knows that Abraham wants him saved. But why does he want him saved? Because he's his nephew? Is family relationships that important? Or is Hashem saving Lot because of the metaphorical understanding that Lot is the evil inclination? And once the sin of Adam took place, the evil inclination was now within the soul, within the body. And so in order for that effect to remain, Lot has to be saved. For Abraham, for the sake of Abraham, because he needs the evil inclination. Why does he need the evil inclination? We're taught, you know, we don't pay attention to your evil inclination. But then on the other hand, the Zohar says, you need your evil inclination. Without your evil inclination, there would be no children. There would be no energy to excite you to bring children. So what is the reason? Or are all of those reasons appropriate?
Well, I think freedom of choice. Hashem wants a people who will choose.
Well, but Abraham chose. Abraham chose. He didn't ask for it. That's his free choice.
But I mean, getting rid of the evil inclination is what I'm saying. You know,
we don't have a evil choice in getting rid of the evil inclination. Not until we do teshuvah for the first sin, for the eating of the tree of knowledge, good and evil. We don't have that option. The Mashiach will cause that to happen. The evil inclination will no longer be part of the human psyche. But until that happens, until Mashiach, we don't have free choice about whether the evil inclination is with us or not.
Well, not that it's with us, but we have a choice to choose between good and evil, you know, which is a different side of the coin of the evil inclination. So it depends on, you're seeing it one way and I'm looking at it at another. You know, choose life.
That's my point. The house of Hillel and the house of Shammai looks at it one way looks at it the other way. They need to be reconciled. And that's what I'm attempting to do. Yes, we're both right. But is there a higher way of looking at it? Is there a deeper understanding? Hashem does not do things the way human beings do. As the prophet said, Hashem's thoughts are not like our thoughts. So are we to strive to understand Hashem's thoughts? I think we are. And that's what I'm asking us to do. But we can accept that they were both right. Absolutely. Hashem knew that Abraham would want to save his family. Lot is his family. It's his brother's son. But he made free choice earlier when he sent him away. He didn't send him away. He gave Lot the free choice. Where do you want to go? But we have to separate. There's too many animals for this ground, for this grass. Too many animals in the land of Israel for the grass? Does not make sense. Abraham made his free choice. He separated from his evil inclination. He wants to be closer to Hashem, and that means he has to be more connected to Chesed. And separating from the evil inclination, which is the left column, makes sense to him. Makes sense to most of us. I'm asking you to think of it in terms of different frames of reference and how do we reconcile them. And we're not going to do that tonight, and I'm going to move on. But it's a way of thinking I'm trying to hint to, if more than hint.
Well, when you gave the example of Hillel and Shammah, and we're told that in the future, we are going to light Hanukkah, our lamps, according to Shemaiah. So that's what's going through my head, and I'm trying to make the connection between what I know what you're saying. But when you threw Hillel and Shammah, I thought of that example of how we light candles, our Hanukkah candles, a certain way. And yet in the future, we'll do it the other way. I'm stuck right there.
But see, the two opinions are reconciled in the Talmud. Yes, the halakha says do it according to Hillel by lighting one at the first night and add one each night.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And it's also reconciled by, say, when we change frames of reference after Mashiach, we're going to light 8 candles and drop down to 1. Except there's one issue. After Mashiach, we're told that there will be no more mitzvot except for Purim. And some people say Hanukkah as well. But that's still an argument, still a mechlokah, that they're seeking truth. So how does the opposites of Hillel and Shammai reconcile? Where is the central conflict?
I would think it probably has something to do with the Oracle News, because whereas today, the 8th day is, the Oregon News, where we should have more of the Oregon News, or it'll be all the time. I'm not sure, but it definitely.
Exactly what the argument is, that some say Hanukkah will be part of the because Purim is going to be continuous, that Hanukkah is also, but it's all related to the Oregon News. We will always have Oregon News. It will be revealed all the time. So there is no need to light candles after that.
Right.
Because we'll be able to connect to it by virtue of who we are, because we will have separated, meaning controlled, the evil inclination. When the evil inclination is controlled, that's when we turn on light. That's when light is revealed. Verse 184. My asher yashav bahen lot ha'itmar aval begin dekalho ha'yavin v'la ishteka mikolho de'it le'ya me de bisku barlot mi kano livna the kolatar the dairin de ahayavin kariv ihu. The translation. What is meant by in which Lot dwelt? Why were they named after him? And this has been explained. It is because they were all wicked and there was nobody among them who was good, save for Lot. From this we learn that wherever the wicked stay, that place is doomed to be destroyed. From the verse in which Lot dwelt, we learn that for all the other people who dwelt there, it was not considered to be a dwelling place, but rather a place of destruction and desolation, unfit for habitation. And this was because they were wicked people. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. How is an evil inclination considered good? Study our class on relativity. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I think Rabbi Ashlag's comments. I mean, he really, that's the verse, so he was really good with this explanation. He gave us a little bit more. The idea of destruction and destroyed desolation. It's not even considered a habitation, you know, so. It's hard to believe that Lot wanted to stay there.
The only explanation for why any human being would want to stay there is because they're oriented to the evil inclination.
That's true. I remember he offered his daughters.
Exactly.
You know. To the crown.
There's another section in Vayera that I just finished preparing. It's section, I believe it's 13, but I could be off by the number. It explains the relationship of what is the metaphor for the two daughters. It's very, very interesting, and when we get there, I'm sure you'll find it as interesting as I do.
Okay.
Let's go on to verse 185. Asher yashav ahin lot ukiv bekal ho hawayativ lot. Ela beginea, awo yatve, ela icharvu, veitema biskuteya, la ela biskuteya, the Avraham. The translation of the verse, the cities in which Lot dwelt, he asked, could it be that Lot lived in all of them? And he replies, because of his presence in those cities, they were not destroyed, and the people were able to dwell there. This is why they are named after him. But if you say this was because of the merit of Lot, you are incorrect. It was because of the merit of Abraham. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the pasuk is clear as written. Understand how an individual is responsible for the less developed consciousness of people and things around them. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I didn't realize he dwelt in cities more than one. Well, I guess Sodom and Gomorrah, I guess it's two, so just didn't register.
Exactly.
I've always taken it
as most
one.
People, it doesn't. And most people, it doesn't register. And we see that repeatedly throughout the Zohar. And as we study it, where it's one letter, changes, it's plural instead of singular, it's singular instead of plural. You know, these things are not noticeable to us because they're smoothed over in the translations. But they're very real and they need to be considered. And that's why when we study it, it focuses our attention on the idea that why did he need to say that he lived in cities? Why did he need to say the world? Did he live in one place? Do you know where Sodom is? It's a generic question for everyone. Do you know where Sodom is in the land of Israel?
Well, I've been there.
The answer is the Dead Sea. The destruction of Sodom created the Dead Sea.
Well, I was fortunate to be able to be there in 1986. So at that time, Israel wasn't really built up yet. You know, even tourist spots were fresh and the shrubberies were just planted. You know, the difference in seeing it 10 years later when I went again. But, and there was... you just didn't see anything. It was just a dirt road and brush and rocks on the side. But they stopped the bus and we got down at several places and I picked up pieces of wood that had salt on it. And even if there was brush, if you picked a branch and you pulled a leaf off of it, it was, you know, it was salted. I mean, it really was full of salt all in that area. And, of course, 10 years later, the Dead Sea was completely different.
That is for sure.
I hope all that on the water was actually probably a mile away from the water. And we all joked. We said, well, it was because the tourists bring little bottles and take water from the Dead Sea. So it had drunk. But it was a joke, you know. But
yeah.
It had really, really changed. And, of course, there were buildings and restaurants and things to really for tourists. But and also highways by that time, not just a dirt road.
It's very true. The land is changed. It's been built up. It's been expanded. It does more tourism all the time. Of course, not in the pandemic, but that's the whole idea of the economy.
But I'm glad I got to see it in that time period.
Hello?
And we made the whole state in travel.
Yes, Marco?
That was Judy.
I'm sorry.
When we were over there, we went in 92, but we believed that the reason that the Dead Sea was salty was because of Lot's wife that had turned around, had turned into a stone. Of course, we didn't know if that was just true or not. That's what we had believed at that time. That's why the Dead Sea was so salty, because of her.
The Dead Sea is salty for geographic reasons, geological reasons, but it's also from the standpoint of you have to know where Sodom and Amorah were. The whole area was salty, as Hannah was expressing. It wasn't that mm-hmm. she was turned into a pillar of salt and then that salt that got spread around the rest of the area. The area was salty. It's the lowest point on Earth. But the question we don't have answered is it the lowest place on Earth because of the destruction of Sodom, and it represents the negativity associated with Sodom manifested into this low spot on the Earth, or formed the low spot on the Earth? We don't have answers to those questions, at least I don't. And I'm not sure that the geologists and the archaeologists are approaching it from the standpoint of questions that I'm asking. But the area is extremely salty. But in the rains of this past season in Israel have been so extensive that the salt sea has become almost not a salt and sea. It's become so diminished. The salt concentration has become so diminished by the rainflow going into the lake that there was concern that they would be starting to get plant life growing again in the lake.
I had heard years back they were supposed to start drilling for oil. And I wonder if did they ever try to attempt to do that?
Not in the salt. Not in the salt sea area. They're drilling for gas. They found that in the Mediterranean Sea. And they're drilling for oil in that area as well.
Okay.
We are out of time, so we will be
because they didn't refer to it as the Dead Sea, but I can't remember what it was.
When you were in Israel, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they never did say Dead Sea. That was
call it the Salt Sea.
Okay.
Yam Melach was what I was hearing when I was there and took the tour, the similar mm-hmm. types of tours.
Well, I'll look at my little bottle that I have of water from the Salt Sea, and the salt still continues to collect, to grow to be a bigger piece at the bottom of my little bottle.
You all have a good evening.
Okay, thank you.
You too.
Shalom. Shalom.
Shalom. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom.